especially welcome you to Living the Gospel Podcast. This is episode 2 of our podcast that we launched only last week concerning living the gospel. It's a joy and a privilege for me to come your way again with another episode of this podcast. And this podcast is simply dedicated to helping people to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and then how to live it in their daily lives. Well, today our topic happens to be the gospel of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at a scripture in the book of Romans chapter 1 so that we can actually get a framework of a better understanding of what the gospel is. And there are several texts that we can really run to help us to understand the gospel. But I restrict myself to Romans chapter 1 verse 1 to 6 so that we can better understand that. But to start off, let's by way of introduction, let's look at the problem with the gospel now. So today's gospel is bedeviled with so many problems. Number one is the urge people to come to Christ and be rich and then be wealthy. And that's a popular gospel that people preach, quote unquote, gospel. They say that it is prosperity gospel. But there's nothing in the scriptures that say that there is a prosperity gospel and then there is abundance gospel and then there is poverty gospel. There's nothing like that. There are no categories in the gospel. The gospel is only one, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can just hang it somewhere because this is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, some people also say that the gospel is to add Christ to your successful career. That means that somebody probably who professes to be a Christian, he says that I'm a Christian, but the person is doing so well with their career, doing so well in business, but they are not doing well with their spiritual life. So some people urge them to say that, come to Christ. They go to them and preach the gospel and say that, come to Christ, and then add Christ to your whatever you are doing and create a balance in your life. The gospel is not about creating balance. It's not about adding Christ to your life. No. The gospel is about Christ totally taking hold of our life. It is life-touching life. It is Christ taking dominion of our life. It is Him being Lord of our life and then we being His bond servants. Number three, people say that come to Christ and He will give you good life or good plans. I mean, people really would like to run away to Jeremiah 29:11 and say that I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, the plans of good and not of evil, to give you hope and an expected end. So they quote such scriptures and say that God has a good plan for you. He loves you and has a good plan for you. So when you come, you're going to fulfill the plan of God for your life. Beloved, the gospel is not about us. It is not about our good plans. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose will stand and will forever be declared. Forever, O God, your word is settled in the heaven. So the gospel is not about us. It is not coming to Christ to fulfill your big dreams. No, the gospel is about, when even God talks about His plans He has for us, it is the plans He has concerning His kingdom. The kingdom of God should come be established. Forever His kingdom will be established in our lives. It is all about Him. Number four, people say that the gospel power means that to exercise spiritual gifts. They say that what is the gospel when there's no power to exercise our spiritual gifts? It is about us living like Christ. When Christ comes into our lives and changes us, we ought to live like Him. The Bible says we should put off the old man and put on Christ. That is what the gospel is about. So having dealt with these four misconceptions about the gospel, for the Christian, the most important thing for every one of us is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is Christianity. What let us in, what let us stay, and then what will give us eternal life. That is the gospel. We live and we are sustained on the gospel. It is the good news of our salvation. We are saved by the gospel and live the gospel. The gospel is the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 says, Paul says that the gospel is of foremost importance. It is a priority for all of us. And in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 to 9, if anyone teaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. The preaching and living the gospel is very important for all believers. So if people pervert the gospel, Paul says that even if it's an angel from heaven or whoever comes and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Two times he says it in the book of Galatians chapter 1. Now let's look at Romans chapter 1 verse 1 to 6. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Paul is going to teach the gospel to the Romans, and he couldn't hold himself than to give them a snapshot overview of what the gospel is all about. We find four things we want to talk about. The first thing is about the preacher of the gospel. Secondly, the promise of the gospel. Thirdly, the person of the gospel. And then lastly, the product of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the first one, the preacher of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the same text we just read, chapter 1, verse 1, says that Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God. We see here about four things that we want to talk about concerning the preacher of the gospel, which is applicable to all of us. Number one, we see Paul is the preacher of the gospel. And here we see our brother Paul was the book of Acts tells us that he was a persecutor of the Christians. He was a chief persecutor of the church. In Acts chapter 22, the Bible says that he persecuted this way to death. He persecuted Christians, binding and delivering them into prison, both men and women. So how can a sinner like this become a saint? We see in Acts chapter 8, Paul collected letters and he was furious, going to places to go and arrest Christians and then persecute them. By Acts chapter 9, Christ revealed himself to him by way of shining his light to Paul, and darkness could not comprehend it, and Paul was converted to become a believer who now converted and he served Christ through and through. Secondly, we get to note about, it says, a born servant of Jesus Christ. Born servant here also speaks of slave of Christ. A slave has a master whom he lives by the dictates of the master. Every believer, Paul included, Paul wants to use this strong word because that is how his life is about. He was a slave to sin and now he's a slave to righteousness in Christ. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says that, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is the true story of every believer. We've been crucified with Christ, resurrected in Christ so that we can live for him. Thirdly, called to be an apostle. Who is the preacher of the gospel? Galatians chapter 1:16 says that he was called to be a preacher to the Gentiles. So separated from his mother's womb and called by his grace to be an apostle unto Christ. Lastly, we see who is the preacher of the gospel. He was separated to the gospel. Paul's message was the good news of Christ, just like the other apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17 says that, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not by the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Christ called Paul to be a preacher of the gospel. He was separated to the gospel. Every one of us, we are from sinful nature to righteous nature, so that we can be separated to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and live for that and preach that. Now let's look at the second component of the scripture we read in Romans chapter 1. It talks about the promise of the gospel. Verse 2 says that, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is just about God himself giving us his good news. And God is the one who orchestrated everything. He's the brain behind it. The Bible says that it is God himself who killed a lamb to be a propitiation for us. So it is God who sent forth his son, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, he who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We get to note about three things in the promise of the gospel. It was promised beforehand. The gospel is not a new innovation in the New Testament. The gospel is rooted in the Old Testament. So if you want to understand the gospel, see the shadow and the copies of it in the Old Testament. It gives you a fuller understanding in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8 says this, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In Abraham, all the seed of the world will come forth. In his seed, all the nations will be blessed. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says that in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time even began. The gospel even began before the Old Testament even began. Because he slain the lamb before the foundation of the earth. Number 2, we learn that it was proclaimed through the prophet. The promise of the gospel was that it was proclaimed through the prophet. Isaiah 53 is the masterpiece. I mean, you see Isaiah 53 and it's as if everything spoken about the suffering servant just came so vividly in the New Testament. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 verse 44 to 45 says this. Then he said to them, this is Jesus Christ, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. Concerning who? Me, Christ. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Micah also says that he from everlasting. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Christ is from everlasting. The gospel was not just promised to us only in the New Testament. The gospel goes way back as promised in the Old Testament. And then lastly, it was declared in the Holy Scriptures. If you want to find the gospel, it is not about going to a psychology school. It is not about having your own way of doing it. The gospel is rooted in the scriptures. When you read, for instance, Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, it says that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Scholars say that this is the first time the gospel was declared. The promise of the gospel was declared. Now let's look at Luke chapter 24, 27 says that, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. John chapter 5 verse 39 says that, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you will have eternal life, and these are they who testify of me. The scriptures speak about Christ. Christ, the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, they speak about only one person. The promise of the gospel is about the person of the gospel. That happens to be our third point. The third thing that we want to focus on is the person of the gospel. This is the focus. This is the concentration. This is what ought to take all our time. The gospel is not about us, just as I said before. It is not about preachers. It is not, preachers are there. They proclaim the gospel. They are the forerunners. But the gospel, I like what John the Baptist said. I am not the Christ, but I am the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Savior to come. The gospel concerns Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the subject matter of the gospel. He is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. It's the good news of our salvation. So, two things will feed into this person of the gospel. We want to talk about the humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ. Now, let's read Romans chapter 1 verse 3 to 4 concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It speaks of two things: the seed of David, the Son of God. First one is the seed of David. That is the humanity of Christ. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 says that the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Likewise, when you read Luke's own account of the genealogy, you see that Christ is 100% God, 100% man. And then John chapter 7 verse 42 says that, has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem? The God-man came in the flesh. Philippians says that he was in his glory, but he came in the form of one of us, in the weakness of man. Secondly, the Son of God. This speaks of his divinity. The person of the gospel speaks of his divinity. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says that, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This speaks of the fact that God said he would raise Christ on the third day, or when he died, and then he raised him, because he testified of what God said he would do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 says that, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Christ was testified of as somebody who died and he resurrected as God said he would do. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 onward. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. This text we just read summarizes two things: the seed of David and then the Son of God. The person of the gospel, the focus of the gospel, the fulcrum of the gospel, the pivot of the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not us. The gospel is not about us. We are just servants who are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. So no wonder Paul said that we preach Christ and him crucified. It is all about Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus. And lastly, let's look at the product of the gospel. Let's read from verse 5 to 6. The scripture says this: through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. The gospel converts sinners to become saints. That is the most miraculous aspect of it. Lazarus come forth. That is how it is. Dead men. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were dead in trespasses, but the grace of God raised us, made us alive together with Christ Jesus. So let's see two things about the product of the gospel. Number one, we are saved from sin. This is so amazingly miraculous. Dead in sin and now we are alive. Romans chapter 1 verse 6 says, therefore I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. John chapter 1 verse 16 to 17 says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So the gospel is a gift from God to us to save sinners, save them, and transport them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Secondly, we receive grace to work. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8 says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10 says, but by the grace of God I am who I am. His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God which was with me. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The gospel comes to save sinners, make them saints so that they can actually walk in the good works God has laid before us. We are not saved by good works. We are not saved because we are good people who do good things. We are saved by the grace of God, but we are saved unto good works. If for nothing at all, you can read the book of 1 John. Examine yourself whether you be of the faith. Because many people, hell be made up of good religious people because they thought you were believers when they were not. All of us, we have to examine ourselves. Paul writing to Corinthians says that, examine yourself whether you be of the faith. Don't just say you're a Christian because you prayed a prayer. No, you ought to ask yourself whether this Bible, what the Bible is saying about evidence of being a Christian, about the works, the fruit we have to bear, whether you are bearing it or not. The late eminent African theologian, Reverend Professor Kwame Bediakun, said this about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Quote, the gospel, in the true sense of the word, is who Christ is and what he means in his person, his life on earth, his work, his death, his resurrection, and its aftermath, and how all that concerning him relate to all human beings in all our culture, traditions, histories, and environment. End of quote. This is what Bediakun says, and I totally agree with him that the gospel is all about Christ, and it transforms everything that we do. It's about repentance unto good works. Now let me conclude with Romans chapter 16, 25 to 26. What a way for Paul to conclude this amazing epistle that he wrote to the Romans. Let's read it. If you have a Bible, you can join me to read this. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Paul says that now to him who is able to establish, he is just breaking forth into praise and worship and doxology to God and to Christ, and saying that it is only you who can do this for us. That Paul himself, a sinner, can be converted to become a saint who is now serving Christ. Slave to sin and now slave to righteousness. That is our story. Beloved, this gospel is not about you, as I've been saying. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. He's the one who died upon the cross. Christ died upon the cross. It is not you. So when you go out and you are preaching the gospel, the good news of our salvation is this, that they are dead in their sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, can raise them and make them alive in Christ Jesus. And when you present this gospel, as I have explained here, to people, the Holy Spirit himself will convince them of sin, and then they will become righteous. Ezekiel, when he stood in the valley of the dry bone, the Bible says that God asked him, son of man, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel, as powerful as he was, prophet as he was, preacher as he was, he couldn't answer, and he said, God, only you know. And then God put his word on his lips so that he could prophesy to the dead bones and they came alive. That is the work of every preacher. That we were dead in trespasses, And God, just like Jeremiah, he put his word on our lips. His word was shut up in his bones like fire, so that we go out and proclaim Christ, who is the one that died to save us. Don't go out there to preach another gospel. Go forth and proclaim Christ and him crucified. And may the power of God go with you. And may the Spirit of God back whatever we do, so that we can save people and disciple them. If you are a non-believer and you just listen to the explanation of the gospel, I pray that God is going to convict you of sin. Because there's a coming a day when the Son of Man will sit on his throne and judge the nations, and the unrighteous will go to the left and the righteous to the right. And that day, you can't have any justification why you could not enter into his rest. May the Lord himself save us from the wrath to come. And for you as a believer, go forth and preach the gospel in any way and in any form. I have taken to this podcast, and this is what I do. You can also take to your status, take to your social media platforms, share the gospel anywhere. And lastly, I want to encourage you, please share this podcast, share with your friends, share with your family, share with your working colleagues, share with them, let them know that the gospel is about Jesus Christ, who is a soon coming king. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Until we meet again, may God be with you, and may you live for the gospel.